Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It's the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. David Steele joining us from the Sporting News coming up at 10:35, 10:40 p.m. Eastern. Aditi Kinkabwala will join us. Teddy Greenstein will join us from the Chicago Tribune at 11:35, 11:40. And I got something that's bothering me so strongly about the Big Ten. And I'm about to lose it. But first, I have to get to week two. One, I want to know what looks better. 0-2 with a rookie quarterback or 0-2 with Saquon Barkley? Because if you're going to go 0-2, you might as well do it. What looks worse? I want to know what looks worse. 0-2 with a 39-year-old at the quarterback position or 0-2 with a 39-year-old at the quarterback position and even with a rookie quarterback sitting right behind him? Because if you're the Giants, you can go out and you can lose games. You can lose them if you have a rookie. You lost games last year. You have a guy like Eli Manning in front of it. You could have a handoff. Now, I know Saquon Barkley this and that and how sensational he is. 7 carries, 26 yards tonight. Unless he runs them back in, the Cowboys are stepping in there and grinding their asses to dust. Eli's off schedule. The offensive line is off schedule. The whole thing is out of order. And I ask you point blank and simply, what looks better or what looks worse? Would 0-2 with a rookie sitting behind or a rookie getting ready to play, would that look better? Or 0-2 with Saquon Barkley, who's 7 carries for 26 yards today? Because when you go get Saquon Barkley, it's not about the future. When you have a running back, it's about the right now. You're not developing with a guy who's number 2 overall as a running back. You're telling the world you want to win now. And at 0-2, or possibly at 0-2, unless they pull their head out of their ass here over the next 19, 18, 20-something minutes of play, that's a big problem for the Giants. And for the Cowboys, a much-needed home win to possibly go to 1-1. That's one of the things on my mind today. Another couple of things are, if you're in Pittsburgh tonight, 0-1-1, which when you tie the Browns feels like a loss, and you have no Le'Veon Bell, and you have James Conner who went nuts last week, and then you barely hand off the ball to him because you find yourself in a 21-0 deficit, but you come back to 21-21 to go at halftime, but you still completely abandon the run whatsoever, and you throw 60 times with Ben Roethlisberger. Where's your head at right now? I shouldn't even say where's your head, because you're not the silly one. Where's your emotions at? Because for the Chiefs at 2-0, and I might have been wrong about Patrick Mahomes, because I was worried about Patrick Mahomes, because it's a Big 12 school, it's Cliff Kingsbury, it's Texas Tech. There were certain fears that I had. There were just fears that I had, that there were preconceived notions about where Patrick Mahomes is from that I didn't know if I wanted to give him a chance or I didn't know if I could trust him. And so far, Patrick Mahomes has been lights out in the first couple of games of his career. But you let a team with a young quarterback come into Pittsburgh, boat race you at the beginning, you claw back because you do have Ben Roethlisberger, and then you completely forget any semblance of yourself and fall apart again in the second half. And throw 60 times and hand the ball off to James Conner 8 times. Even though it got tied 21-21 at halftime, he still had 30 minutes left to play. You can complain all you want about Le'Veon Bell not being there and how Le'Veon Bell's a jerk and how Le'Veon Bell is greedy and how he's selfish and how he doesn't want to help your team. And a lot of it I wouldn't even disagree with. But when you have a head coach and an organization, and I rarely ever take swings at Mike Tomlin. I think Mike Tomlin, most of, by and large, has been a good coach. I think he's been fine for what he's done. But when you have an organization that decides to throw the ball 60 times, even when you've had a come-from-behind victory, or when you've had a come-from-behind tie to get ready for halftime, you're telling me you're calling plays emotionally. You're telling you have no trust whatsoever in your defense when you're supposed to have good players on that defense. You're telling me two games into the season you're freaking out. And fans can freak out. Radio show hosts in the middle of the night on a Sunday can freak out. You can't freak out. You can't look at the media wide-eyed, looking for answers, and still doing it when you have one of the most veteran-laden, talented teams in the entire NFL. A loss is a loss. To lose the way that you've did it in Game 2 and how Game 1 came completely apart for the Steelers, that's on discipline, that's on coaching, that's on distraction. You have become your own problem. It's not Houston 93. It's not Kevin Gilbride and Buddy Ryan just yet. It's nothing like that because you got rid of Todd Haley after last year. It's nothing like that. But there are teams that ascend when they have expectations. There are teams that ascend when they're supposed to do it. And I just look into an hourglass two games into the season and understanding full-heartedly that it's two games into the season. And knowing that things could change at any moment for a team that's supposed to be as talented as the Pittsburgh Steelers. But from what it looks like right now, this is a team that's crushed by the weight of its own expectations. You have talent. You have all pros in positions. You have guys who are Hall of Famers in certain positions. You have Hall of Famers in key positions like wide receiver and quarterback. You can say what you want to about Le'Veon Bell, but again, James Conner has proven that he can be a pretty good running back in his own right. You have replaced guys across the offensive line over again a given amount of time. Ben Roethlisberger was only sacked once today. There was no David DeCastro. He's only sacked once today. So what's it going to be? Because from the way this looks, you can look anywhere around the AFC. Jacksonville, you always wait for Blake Bortles to go. Blake Bortles, we'll get to him in a moment. New England, you always expect to be right there. But is this barely a team that looked into the mirror and became afraid? Because what was there on the field today was ridiculous. 855-212-4CBS. Again, going to New England. One of the best things about week two is that week two is supposed to be for those who are in trouble, those who should be nervous. There's a couple of teams that we highlight. I still wonder about the Saints, even though that they came back and they won against the Browns earlier today in New Orleans. Because you could look at it and go, well, the Browns have gotten a lot better. Or you could look at it as a Saints fan and go, well, it's the Browns and we should have been able to put up more than 3 points through three quarters. So there's a question about the Saints, but they go to 1-1. Because the dreaded 0-2 stat always gets to be brought out, how very few teams that start out 0-2 end up going to the playoffs. Texans should be worried. A couple of other teams around the league should be worried. But even through this, and even though they're a 1-1 football team, so many people are going to want to bury New England. And even though the Jacksonville had a tremendous game plan today, Doug Marrone deserves a ton of credit. The way that that defense played while they stymie Tom Brady, have him searching for answers, and Blake Bortles was fantastic today. Give him credit where it's due, even though it's tough to do so, because we have, just like I said with Patrick Mahomes coming out of college, preconceived notions of a guy. That guys can get better or guys can have a stretch of good games. We'll see how Bortles does for the rest of the year. Even though we have preconceived notions of a guy, it's hard to let go of those things because we don't want to admit that we were wrong. I will full-on admit if I'm wrong about Blake Bortles, because when you get going towards the postseason, if Jacksonville has the defense that's still there, if Blake Bortles can play anywhere near, you're not going to be expected to do what you did today. But if Blake Bortles can do anywhere near what he did today, that's a dangerous football team in Jacksonville. And even though it's early, which we have to couch all this stuff with going, man, we're 2 weeks into the season, so much can change. You still have 14 games left to go. You always have to couch that. But even though it's early, teams are trying to make statements. Teams are trying to send messages. Kansas City did it today with a young quarterback who's barely a rookie or barely not a rookie. And Jacksonville did it today at home. You can't go out there in the AFC Championship if it's Jacksonville and Pittsburgh and run the same game plan. That's obvious. And it probably won't be in the same stadium because of New England and the schedule that they play because of their own terrible division that they play in, which isn't Jacksonville's fault. You can't do all that. But you can't tell me there's not statements being made. Back in 2001, New England did it. Now in 2018, Jacksonville trying to do it. And you see the way that the game changes. And if Blake Bortles, I can't say duplicate it because it was such a great game today. If he comes anywhere near that performance with any consistency, sees the field, makes the passes, goes through the progression, leaves himself a little more closed because he always opens himself up too much, lets the ball sail. It's always been Blake Bortles' problem. If he can stay on it mechanically and deliver footballs, they got a real solid chance. A defense that has come to fruition, a football team that has come to fruition in Jacksonville while grinding it out on their leather ass for so long, trying to get something going for the Gus Bradley days, and to now with Doug Marrone and with what Tom Coughlin has done, it's a dynamite start for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And even though New England took it on the chin today, and even though Tom Brady looked like hell, and you had Bill Belichick who was cussing up a storm, it's still the Patriots. What cannot be killed, what is not alive, cannot die. And until he breathes his last breath in the NFL, I won't make the mistake of it. We tried to do it a couple years ago. We tried to do it against the Chiefs 2 weeks into the season a couple years ago with Jimmy Garoppolo taking over. We tried to do it when he got hurt the last time. We've tried to do this so many times with Tom Brady until the wheels officially come off. And they could be getting wobbly for all we know. Until the wheels officially come off, you can't count that team out. And you can't even say that they have problems. They're bad in the state of Florida. They're turds in the state of Florida. And today might have been just a turd that they laid in the state of Florida. But I have bigger problems that I have. Because we have so much that's going on in the NFL. I'd be remiss to not mention what happened yesterday. And at first, and I had to make sure all this is right, because Disney was the one that bought Fox Sports. Isn't that right, Hickey? I got to ask you real quick. Disney's buying Fox Sports, right?
Yes, I believe you're correct.
Okay, is Michael Eisner still in charge of Disney?
I have to look it up, but I believe you are right on that.
Okay, let's just go ahead and guess that Michael Eisner's still in charge of Disney. Because it's not Jim Delaney, it's not Urban Meyer, it's not James Franklin. It is Michael Eisner and Disney that is keeping the Big Ten afloat. Because if you're a Buckeye fan or you're a Penn State fan, and I'll throw Penn State in there as well, if you're one of those two fan bases, you should be fit to be tied with the Big Ten right now. And when I say fit to be tied, that's a nice old-style colloquialism to say that you should be really, really seething with anger over the rest of the Big Ten. Because I tried so intently to put Big Ten football over. That Big Ten football was here. The athletes were different. It was bigger. It was better. It was faster. It was stronger. It was no longer 6'6", 360-pound slobs who ran for 3 yards at a clip before getting too gassed. And even though they could bench press Mack trucks, they couldn't get to a sport, and they were getting beat in the dust by athletes from the SEC. I was trying to say that. And yet last year, it seemed like it was true. Wisconsin kicking ass and taking names. People were excited about Jeff Brohm and Purdue. You have a brand new head coach in Scott Frost at Nebraska, waking up the old echoes of what Nebraska football used to be with Tom Osborne, bringing it to the 21st century. Finally, the years since Frank Solich's unceremonious firing, years since Bo Pelini got fired, even though he won 9 to 10 games every single year. Finally, it was gone, and Nebraska was going to be back in Michigan. Obviously, with Michigan and Jim Harbaugh, things were supposed to be good again. That the Big Ten was going to be at the place it was supposed to be since 1942. That it was supposed to be at the very top. And that they would eventually take over the SEC, or eventually be in contrast to the SEC, where it would still be up the same and you can compare them together. I wanted to do so. But it has become apparent today, or at least it did yesterday, that it's not quality football. It's not big-time program traditions that are carrying the Big Ten right now. What carries the Big Ten is Mickey Mouse. What carries the Big Ten is Goofy. What carries the Big Ten is Disney. Because you have a conference that took it on the chin yesterday, where Ohio State took care of their business, even though TCU is a well-coached football team and gave them as much gusto as they could, but fell apart in the end. Penn State took care of their business. Michigan got another win. And even them, they're questionable. But everything else is one of the out-and-out disasters of a weekend that you could find. Rutgers got blown out by Kansas. Kansas hasn't won two consecutive football games since 2011. You have people wanting the Jason Brown guy from Last Chance U to be the head coach of the Kansas Jayhawks. You had a professor openly question why they even have football at Kansas. They got beat 55-14. You got Temple beating the brakes off of Maryland. You got Troy going to Nebraska, the house that Tom Osborne built, 90-plus thousand people there at Memorial Stadium, and Troy's no dummies. Troy's no slouch, but you end up losing at home. When you lay turds like this, and I haven't even gotten to Akron and Northwestern, how am I supposed to take you seriously as a conference? And I know people look at the SEC East and go, oh, Ken, come on, man. I mean, look at some of these teams you have over here. Come on, the SEC's over it. And I would love to do it. I'd love to agree with you. I've said it about the ACC, and just because I've said it about the ACC doesn't mean it's not true about the Big Ten. I'd love to agree with you, and I have before. But now I have to tell you about yourself, because the Big Ten is comprised of this, and I'll just go down through the standings of what's currently listed right now. Ohio State's the only team carrying the flag for the conference, and even they can't stay out of their own way or not force their fans to do mental gymnastics on moral decisions. Indiana in that Eastern Division, you're still waiting on basketball season, and any time they compete in football at all, their coach beats up the players, and that coach, by the way, is now at Ohio State, and it makes some sort of a weird version of 6 degrees of Norman Dale. Penn State, my God, if you're a Penn State fan, you got to be as frustrated as possibly can be, because that's a really good football team, but had one scare and will be taken more seriously by the playoff committee once they change their name to Michigan. Maryland, boy, the real life version of the program. DJ Durkin is getting Wally Pitt by Matt Canada, and 6 wins would actually be incredible for them, except they still don't care and they still won't care because neither of the coaches' names are Gary Williams. And for Michigan, more excuses than wins since Jim Harbaugh arrived. And I don't think they should fire him, and I don't want him to leave, because their history makes them the most powerful team in the conference, and I've explained that to Penn State fan and Ohio State fan time and time again. You don't want them on that wall. No, you need them on that wall, because you will not be taken seriously as a conference until Michigan shows up again. So I'm waiting on the pleated pants, and I've waited on the weird recruiting trips, and I still don't know if it's going to do it, because the Big Ten won't truly be taken seriously until Michigan's back near the top. Even though that we're all just looking at the 800-pound gorilla in the room and thinking that Jim Harbaugh might just be better in the NFL. Michigan State lost a retired NFL coach who hired a general manager for a college program. Rutgers is only in the conference because of their TV market. They're a friend. To me, I think that they're a friend who you know is a total idiot, but they're allowed to be in the conference, or they're allowed to be friends because their father is rich. Like, they're allowed to do anything that they want because their father is wealthy, so they're allowed to be a moron. Basically, Rutgers is the Big Ten equivalent of Billy Madison or Tommy Callahan from Tommy Boy. Northwestern's a basketball school since they lost to a school that accepted me in the University of Akron, and that's supposed to be a smart school at Northwestern, but you lost to a team that accepted me. Just pave over Ryan Field, turn it into basketball courts, and try to do that or do more science experiments. Iowa, I'm telling you right now, and I don't know if you're in Des Moines or wherever you might be, or Iowa City or where the hell Iowa is, never let Kirk Ferentz go. I seriously fear you'll fall into the same suckitude as the rest of the conference if he ever leaves. He competes every few years. The best recruiting tool you have is Kevin Costner and Korn, and this is coming from a person who loves both. I would never let him go. Minnesota, they say to row the boat. I say row it into one of your 10,000 lakes and just stay out there, because Garrison Keillor's less embarrassing now. All right, I'll admit, I actually like P.J. Fleck, and that one got away from me. I'm just trying to be nasty during this segment, and I really actually hope Minnesota football gets it going, because I do like P.J. Fleck, and he's willing to come on the show. Illinois, you have the real-life version of Coach Klein leading you, and every home game should be a Juice Williams day, so more than drunk students actually go to your games. Wisconsin lost to a bunch of 25-year-old merry men at Camp Randall Stadium. I'd tell you to put a keg out at the 50-yard line like a rec league softball game, but they don't even drink at BYU. So it sucked even worse than you could possibly imagine. Nebraska, I have ridiculed you from the very beginning, and Jeff Brohm is turning into Brian Brohm, and I miss Joe Tiller at Purdue. You want a conference There's your conference. There's your garbage, your bought and paid for TV garbage. While other conferences actually try to put it out there, and I have tried to extol the virtues of Big Ten football for the past 3 years on this, you can't do it anymore. Suck sucks, and that's what the Big Ten is doing. And if you're an Ohio State fan or you're a Penn State fan right now, you should be beside yourselves. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
Coming up in less than 20 minutes, David Steele going to join us, sporting news NFL writer. We'll ask him about week two and who should be nervous after their bitter start. It's amazing. I knew it was going to happen, and it's no fault to anybody on the phones. I spent this whole time, well, I talked a little bit about, obviously, week two and the Giants and everything like that. By the way, Bob Iger is the CEO of Disney, because I said that Disney runs the, or Disney's the only thing keeping the Big Ten afloat because everything else is garbage with their football programs. And I had said that Michael Eisner was the CEO of Disney, or I believe that Michael Eisner was the CEO of Disney, Bob Iger was. But either way, he spent all that time ranting, raving, going nuts against the Big Ten, and what I've seen, it makes me want to just puke like the goalie from Slapshot. And everybody wants to talk about the Browns kicker struggling today. So we'll get to it. That's fine. William in Cleveland. I knew I couldn't avoid you forever. William, you're first up on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing? It seems as though the Browns are worried about Josh Gordon adjusting back to the NFL, when in reality, they ought to be worried because this kicker had the emotional makeup to be a kicker in the NFL. Can he stand pressure? Because it seems as though I remember a player years ago, this is way back, named Bob Ferguson, who was All-American, and he couldn't stand up to the pressure of the NFL and never made it.
Well, they can be worried about both. The second one is, listen, I was, William, when he didn't hit the kicks, I was upset, obviously.
That's 10 points, man.
I know. No, I'm not saying that he didn't. I'm not making an excuse for him. It's a no-sum game, so your job's on the line with basically every single kick. And, William, thank you for the call. I'm not going to get too nasty towards Zane Gonzalez personally, because I'm just a sports fan. He's a kicker. It wasn't like he missed him on purpose. He was trying his hardest. It's just, no, this is the way it goes. And if he's got the yips, he needs to be replaced. So I hate to be so nasty about it. I'm not trying to be nasty about it, and I won't be nasty about it. I'm just trying to be fair, and I think that's fair. Obviously, in the final moments of that football game, he had already missed. He had already pushed a couple more kicks. Zane Gonzalez did in the game against the Saints earlier today, and you knew at a 52-yard field goal, he didn't want anything to do with it. You knew already, and when he pushes it the other way, it was a total overcompensation. Hey, you know, I'm not Chris Tabor over here. I don't know kickers that well. But when you see him go left, 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 and then right, it's an overcompensation of what it was, and ended up losing the game. And I feel bad for him, because you're the guy that's out there, and you're probably going to lose your job over it, because they need to get a kicker. It's been nearly two calendar years for the Cleveland Browns since they won a football game. They nearly won one today. And what they would have done, if the Browns win that game, it changes the look of the Saints today, and it changes the look of the Browns. Because you tie a football game against the Steelers, and then you beat the Saints, two teams that are supposed to be playoff teams here. People are talking differently about you. People are talking different about the head coach. People are talking different about Tyrod Taylor, talking differently about the Browns. Could have done that today. Instead, it was the same old way that the Browns could find a way to lose a football game. So, again, I don't want to be nasty and too personal with Zane Gonzalez. It wasn't like he missed him on purpose. But, obviously, a change needs to be made, and a change should be made. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We'll also get to Josh Gordon coming up in a bit. Right now, David Steele going to join us next, talking about the NFL from Sporting News, and see where Baltimore might be interested in Josh Gordon.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
855-212-4227. That's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Teddy Greenstein will join us coming up in just about an hour from the Chicago Tribune. Also, Aditi Kinkabwala joining us next, and 3 Up, 3 Down at 11:20. I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you're going to be mighty excited about that. 855-212-4CBS. Let me try to get to John in Detroit. John, you're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
How you doing, Tim?
John, doing well, my friend.
I just want to know about our defense. I mean, like, every year by the draft, I think we'll spend a few picks on the defense, and every year our defense stinks. I mean, Stafford, he might be a Hall of Fame quarterback. He put up 27 today, but our defense is terrible. When are they going to fix our defense? And is our season over already?
Stay with me. Stay with me for a second, John. Stay with me here. First, thank you for not starting off with complaining about Matt Patricia. It's going to take a minute. The defense, I totally agree with you. It just seems like any time you fill a hole, another one gets created. And with Matt Stafford might be the most interesting case I've ever seen, because right now, in his career, doesn't he have over 40,000 passing yards in just, what, this is his 10th season?
Yes.
So he has, let me look this up. He has 35,000 passing yards. Say he plays another 8 years, he could definitely have 65,000 passing. I mean, he is to me the quintessential, I think we need to change the looking of the stats here. Because if you can't get him over the hump, I don't know what else to do. And I don't know, John. I look at the Lions, and it's just the most blasé, hemming and hawing team I think I've ever found. I hate to give you that answer. Like, I look at the Vikings, man, there's meat on the bone. The Browns are bad, there's meat on the bone. There's teams that there's things there that you can really sink your teeth into. And I look at the Lions, and it's just a team of styrofoam, man. I'm sorry. I don't hate me for saying that. It's the truth.
Do you think the season's over after these two losses?
I'm sorry, what'd you say, John?
Do you think the season's over now?
At 0-2, I didn't pick you to make the playoffs regardless, so... You know what, John? I'm going to say yes, and if they end up making the playoffs, you can call me up and yell at me, okay?
Okay, have a great night, Tim.
You too. I did that to George in L.A. I've done that to other ones. If I don't think you're making the postseason, you make the postseason, you can call up and yell at me. Just keep it clean. 855-212-4CBS. I just feel so bad when I have to tell people that. Like, yeah, it's two games into the season and your season's over. I see a lot of teams, and I got something to talk about. When I look at the Lions, they're the one team. It's like, yeah, Matt Stafford puts up yards and nobody cares. And Golden Tate is able to make some plays, and nobody cares. And anytime they take a good defensive player, they lose another one or they lose another two, and nobody cares. Eric Ebron leaves, and he catches two touchdowns in consecutive weeks. It's very rare to see a team like that. And they're not even, like, historically bad anymore. They're 500 or a little bit better. Let's get to the hotline. We welcome in David Steele, Sporting News. Follow him on Twitter, @David_C_Steele, who joins us on the show. Hello, David.
Ken, how are you doing tonight?
David, I'm doing wonderful. Now, you're based in the Washington, Baltimore metro area, right?
I am.
You got your head to the ground. I'm based out of Cleveland. Let me know right now, the level of interest, even though it's in division, the level of interest between the Ravens and the Browns to consummate a trade with Josh Gordon at this hour. He laughs.
Interesting. I need to make a list of every wide receiver that's been tied to the Ravens in the last, 5 years? Stuff like that. Des Bryant, of all the guys, Crabtree, who's the guy who came here, and Snead, and just everybody. You didn't think they would need to be thinking in those terms after week one when they played the Bills, and now we know a whole lot more about the Bills. So you could sort of take that win with a grain of salt. And then you saw them go up to Cincinnati, and they looked a lot like the same Ravens we've been seeing ever since they won the Super Bowl, which is their offense and Joe Flacco just don't seem to be even related to each other a lot of times. The Ravens have done stranger things. They've made stranger pursuits of players and said that we have a strong enough locker room and organization to make it fit. I think maybe the argument against it would be is that they're not far enough, behind the teams they have to beat to have to make a move like that. But, from them, why not? They need help.
David Steele joining us on the show. Real quick, we've seen him dominate one team, get dominated by another. Who are the real Ravens right now?
Unfortunately, I think they're close to the team that was dominated, honestly. Again, and it's not solely because the Bills are a bad team. We had these question marks, and again, they're the same question marks that you're going to every year. It's like, is the line going to be able to hold up? Is the offense going to be able to put all the pieces together? They add new pieces every year. They try to surround Joe Flacco with the right weapons. He is healthier now than he has been all year. He just didn't look that way against Cincinnati. it's going to be a long road for them. You know, I think people kind of had them pegged correctly beginning of the year that they're going to be, again, around 500 or a couple of games above, and they'd probably get nosed out at the end of the season trying to get into the playoffs, just like they've been the last two or three years.
Even with Ozzie exiting, do you think that they would keep John Harbaugh in place, or is that like, well, we just got to see what they look like at the end of the season?
You know, I don't think Harbaugh is like on any kind of hot seat or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You know, he's now in double digit seasons with this team. I mean, they believe in him, they like him. Steve Bisciotti, the owner, is obviously hard on these guys when they have disappointing seasons. I think if the bottom totally falls out, I think they'd have to, you know, sort of, you know, clean house from top to bottom. But if they hold on in there and they sort of fit the pieces back in the front office to sort of carry on what Ozzie has done, I think John Harbaugh would probably be able to survive, you know, missing it one more time, as long as they seem to be making a little bit of progress on the field.
David Steele with us, Sporting News. Follow him on Twitter at David C. Steele. I know it's early, but did the Jaguars make a statement this afternoon?
Yeah, they did. Absolutely. I think that people believed in them going in, but they really wanted to see it proven a little bit. They're still so new to the idea of being one of the elite teams in the league and in the AFC. The Patriots were sort of the perfect type of team that could come in there and sort of put them in their place, humble them a little bit, show them that it's not going to be that easy to make a big leap like that. But to really dominate them the way they did on both sides of the ball, I think sort of woke up the entire league and said, you know, we wanted to see them prove something, and they sure did. And now I think that the rest of the conference is really going to be chasing them the rest of this year, including the Patriots. And that's not selling the Patriots short, because they somehow make it work every year after having starts like this. But I think the Jaguars really did make, like I said, they made a statement.
Who are you most worried about after the first 2 weeks of the season, team-wise, not person-wise?
Wow, that's very interesting. That's because there are a lot of very worrisome teams on several levels. I'd like to figure out what the problem is with the Steelers. They have no business being 0-1-1. I mean, to say they're winless, okay, that's one thing. To say they're 0-1-1 just makes no sense whatsoever. They should not be looking as challenged as they are, and to struggle as much as they are at certain times of each game the way they have been so far. They should be a team, even without Le'Veon Bell, especially after they just jumped all over Le'Veon Bell the way they did and said that basically, we don't need you anymore. We'll mm-hmm. prove that we don't need you anymore. And to come out and lose it feels like two losses, but to play the way they did the first two games, they've got a lot to do to turn themselves around. I thought they were a team that could go to the Super Bowl with, even if they had to deal with the whole Le'Veon stuff. And the Steelers are just really very troubling to me right now.
David, even going back to last year, and this is one of the two teams that are picked to really compete for a Super Bowl in 2018. And I made a comment earlier tonight, is like, okay, I can't see it being like Houston 93 or anything like that. But even without the Le'Veon Bell stuff, it feels to me like maybe and it's been 2 weeks for crying out loud, but the weight of the expectations are starting to really wear on their shoulders right now.
I think that's a good way of putting it. Yeah, I think that could be it, because I think what everyone's issue is with them is that they can't really figure out what is wrong with them, because they're loaded everywhere you look. I mean, or certainly they have all their strengths seem to be enough to overcome whatever weaknesses they have. You know what kind of front office they have. You know what kind of personnel they have. You know what kind of coach they have. You know, this is all going to land on Mike Tomlin, and his name continues to pop up in the context of, why can't he get control of this? Why can't he get a grip on what's going on in his locker room? Why is this nonsense going on with his players seemingly, you know, week after week, year after year? They're too good to be just this unpredictable. So, yeah, I think this was a problem last year. That's why they didn't get past the second round. And it's a problem that's continuing this year. You would have thought that the lesson of last year would have, you know, gotten solved so that they would not be going through the same thing, but it feels like they're going through the same thing.
Are kickers getting worse?
You know, I don't know, because there's a kicker out there who should have a job who doesn't have a job. And if he had a job, Dan Bailey is who I'm talking about, mm-hmm. you know, who should be getting a call, probably should be getting calls like right this very second. Maybe the kicking situations would be better. But something really bad is wrong right now. And I thought that everything was kind of straight. I thought that there was a big hiccup when they changed the extra point length, and that somehow threw everything off with all the kickers, but I thought everybody readjusted and recalibrated. After today, I'm not sure anymore. I don't know what's going on with a lot of these guys. It seems to be the same guys who are messing up all the time, and the old heads are the only ones who are doing well. The Adam Vinatieri's, you know, he's like 60 or 80 years old or however old he is. He's still looking great. But the brand new guys who are supposed to be, you know, taking over are stinking it up.
Would you do anything to fix? Because now it's been 2 weeks in a row, so now it's an epidemic. Would you do anything to fix the ties? I don't think you do anything. It's like, what the hell? It doesn't happen that often, and now it's happened 2 weeks in a row.
I can't. I don't think I even have. it's a problem. I'm clueless on that one. I'm up in the air.
Real quick, have you ever seen anything as bizarre as Vontae Davis retiring at halftime?
The only thing more bizarre is that you waited until now to ask me about that. I was absolutely sure we would spend this entire segment.
Really? Really?
I'm blown away by that.
We got big issues to go. Not some guy who was, you know, I was trying to be dead on with you, David. I didn't realize. I'm sorry. Okay, your thoughts. Vontae Davis, he walks away at halftime. Your thoughts.
I feel bad because it's going to reflect so badly on him. And that probably sounds like an obvious thing for a guy like walking out and undressing in his hands. Because I've been a Vontae Davis fan. I think he's been an excellent player. He's also a native D.C. guy. He's Vernon Davis' brother. I hate that that's going to taint his reputation forever. But, again, it's just the latest thing that's happened to the Bills these last few years. And I think that if you were going to pick a team that would happen to this year, in the middle of a game in week two, after just joining the team, the Bills would probably be the first team that you would pick that happening to. And I think that's a problem that the Bills have to fix after they go through whatever it is they're going to go through, and sort of scolding and reprimanding and cursing out Vontae Davis and saying that, you know, we stand together in this locker room and we don't need guys like that, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They got to figure out what's wrong. Why, you know, what is wrong with that team? What, you know, and that goes from top to bottom. That just sounds like a problem. You know, I don't think he would do that with any other team, but he did that with the Bills. I think the Bills sort of got to question themselves and ask why that happened.
David, I thank you very much for the time. It's been a blast. Follow this man on Twitter, @David_C_Steele. David, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. David Steele joining us, Sporting News. When it comes to the Vontae Davis thing, you couldn't have done the second half. You couldn't have played the second half. Because you know when Vontae Davis, first off, it was a question of Vontae Davis whether he's going to play this year or not. Second of all, you knew when they got their asses handed to him by the Ravens, you knew that was going through his head during that game. Like, I don't want to do this. And halftime, you're getting your brakes beat off again. You're looking at it going, man, it is a nice long fall. Would like to cozy up with some pumpkin spice lattes. It's been a fine 9 years and two and 1.5 games. I think I'm done. 855-212-4CBS. Wish you didn't do it that way. Coming up next, Aditi Kinkabwala. What the hell's going on in Pittsburgh? It's Ken Carman on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.